I am Rizla, and this is my story. It is the day before yesterday, and I am dead.
The Brightonomicon by Robert Rankin, adapted by Elliot Stein and Neil Gardner, and starring David Warner and Rupert Degas. Part 1, The Incredible Encounter with Hugo Roon.
The day of my death was the 14th of February 1960, Valentine's Day in Brighton. I'm floating 200 yards off the coastline in the icy waters of the English Channel. My final glimpse of life is through the top of the water. It is a pier. A woman, a beautiful woman, is looking down. She doesn't seem concerned that I'm drowning. She's laughing. She's laughing at me. There's a man. He's also laughing. His arm is around her shoulder. And it shouldn't be. My arm should be around her shoulder. This isn't fair. The water is closing above my head. I am becoming dead. God shall hear from me. I'm going to complain at my first opportunity.
There. A 55-year-old single malt from the cellars of Lord Alan Mulholland of Hove.
Who are you?
Your deliverer.
What? God?
This wasn't what I expected God to look like. God should have a white flowing beard, not a pentagram tattooed on his gleaming shaven head. And it appeared as if God was a mason. Masonic symbols adorned the watch chain that spanned the waistcoat of his green bowl-skin tweed suit. And I'd never seen a shirt so starched. There was a period feel to God, as if the good Lord stepped out of the 30s. God had a certain charisma.
God? If you're God, I wish to complain.
What is there to complain about?
I just thought you'd look more... Are you...
God? Not quite, though in this life I am as close to being God as is possible.
But if you're not God, then I'm not...
Dead? Well, you were dead when I rescued you from the sea. I brought you back to life using certain techniques known only to myself.
The sea? Yes, yeah, I was in the sea. How did I get there? If you're not God...
Then who am I?
Yeah.
I've been known by many names. The Logos of the Eons. The Guru's Guru. The greatest man who ever lived. The All-Knowing One. I like that one. The Perfect Master. I'm awed by the accuracy of that one. And in my present engagement, I am the reinventor of the Ocarina, the Mumbo Gumshoe, the Hocus Bloke, the Cosmic Dick, and the lad himself. My given name is Hugo Artemis Solon Saturnicus Reginald Arthur Roon, but you may call me Master. And your name is?
My name is? My name is... I should know that, really, shouldn't I? I should know my name, but... Wait, maybe my wallet. My wallet!
Lost to the sea?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know who I am.
Do not panic, dear boy. More scotch.
Oh, thank you. Where am I?
You are in Brighton. My rooms at 49 Grand Parade, to be precise. Our paths have not crossed by accident. Since we are all subject to the laws of karma, you would have found me sooner or later. But it is convenient that you should have done so sooner rather than later. Would you like to know your name?
Yes, please. Who am I?
You are Rizla.
Rizla?
Yes, your name is Rizla.
Are you sure? I don't think my name is Rizla.
So what is it then?
It's... Well, I don't know, do I? I can't remember. But I don't think it's Rizla.
Fear not, it will return. But for now, Rizla is as good a name as any.
No, it's not. It's an awful name.
It will serve for the present.
Well, okay. For now. Thank you for saving my life. That was very kind of you. But I don't think I should be taking up your time. I must go.
Go where?
Well, I've got to find out who I am.
And how do you propose to find out who you are?
I'll go to a police station and report myself missing.
Interesting. But before you do that, allow me to make one minor suggestion. Don't. I have an offer for you. I do not believe our paths have crossed through chance. Chance is an overrated, overpublicized myth. Fate brought you to me. I saved your life so that your life can receive the purpose it lacked. Throw your lot in with me. I promise you great things, Rizla. A year of your life is all I need.
A year?
A month, then. A month of your life is all I need.
But my memory might return.
I doubt it. 1 month. And if you get your memory back, then you may go your own way.
What exactly do you want me to do?
Chronicler of my adventures, assistant, acolyte.
Acolyte?
Never doubt me. Never doubt my words. In the coming year, I will be presented with 12 problems to solve, 1 problem a month. Should I solve them all, the human race survives. Should I fail, a terrible fate awaits mankind. No, not terrible, beyond terrible. Unthinkable. No, beyond unthinkable. What's beyond unthinkable?
Nothing. If it's unthinkable, then we can't think it.
I promise you excitement, danger and excitement. Thrills and danger and excitement. An opportunity to play your part in saving the world.
For some inexplicable reason, I agreed to sign the Mysterious Runes employment contract. Suddenly, my new employer had a dagger in his hand. He lunged at me. He stabbed me.
Ow!
Right in the finger!
Now, Rizla, stop being such a big girl's blouse. It's for the contract. We always sign contracts in blood. That's enough. You can stop bleeding now. You can stop bleeding. Oh, dear.
The next fortnight was spent at the finest tailors of Brighton, where Rune had me fitted with several suits. Curiously, money never seemed to exchange hands during any of his transactions.
Rizla, that suit was made for you.
Oh, do you think so?
It was literally made for you. I phoned in your measurements yesterday.
Well, how would you know my measurements?
I sized you up. Make no mistake about it, my good man. An associate of Runes should be seen in nothing but the finest tweeds.
I am delighted that Sir is satisfied with the suit. And Sir's preferred method of payment is?
On my account.
Sir does not hold an account with us. Perhaps Sir would prefer a more direct form of payment. Cash?
Rune does not sully himself with accoutrements such as money. Nay, I say again, place the bill on my account, the account of Hugo Rune.
Sir, but I must protest.
I really am fine with my old clothes.
Old clothes are not fit for dining, Rizla. Only superior tweeds such as these will suffice.
Now, regarding payment...
Enough! I tire of this conversation. Send the bill to my address.
Sir,
now, Rizla, we leave.
But I...
That was Rune's way. A gentleman should be stylishly clad, but never pay for anything. Rune was the master of not paying for anything, especially when it came to food. Dining out was one of Rune's favourite occupations. He consumed food with gusto and was a master in the art of gluttony. It was during one of these gastronomic marathons that I found out our true purpose.
So, where are all these exciting cases, hmm? Where's the danger and adventure?
Marshal your energies, these things will shortly come to pass. Cast your eye over this letter and give me your considered opinion. I retrieved it from my post office box this very morning.
Dear Mr. Rune, I saw your advert in the Evening Argus. You say that you offer satisfaction to those cheated of justice by the legal system, in particular the constabulary, and that you specialise in crimes that are above and beyond the ordinary. Well, have I got a dandy for you? I am a breeder of rare canines. My family has been so for several generations. We are well known for it in these parts, and been awarded many a ribbon at Crufts. 2 first places, a best in show, and a wettest nose 3 years running. My husband Neville didn't want me to contact you, but I wanted this sorted. It's not right, this kind of thing, and someone should do something about it. Yours sincerely, Janet O'Ryan, Mrs.
So, what do you make of it?
Seems a bit vague. Doesn't actually say what the crime is.
It says a great deal more than that.
It does? What does it say?
For one thing, it says that it was not written by a woman.
Does it?
This was written in a man's hand.
It is typewritten.
Exactly.
What?
Anyway, our first case is the case of a lost dog. Or rather, the case of a stolen dog.
You said cases that will decide the fate of mankind. And now you intend to track down a lost dog.
As I have already said, the stolen dog is the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg itself is the Chronovision.
Chronovision?
The Chronovision is a fascinating contrivance. If it falls into the wrong hands, it will seal the fate of mankind.
The fate of mankind. We're back on that subject again, are we?
It is a subject that consumes me. It is what I am. The best way to describe the Chronovision is to imagine a television set. Now, imagine being able to view events that happened in the past on this television. It is no laughing matter!
I didn't say it was!
You were laughing, and that is as good as saying it is a laughing matter. The man who possesses the Chronovision will become the most powerful man on Earth.
No such device could exist. This is science fiction, like the time machine.
Mr. Wells' time machine functioned perfectly. I should know. I helped him to construct it.
What?
The inventor of the Chronovision was Father Pellegrino Maria Ernetti. He was a Benedictine monk, an expert in ancient Latin texts and Gregorian chants. A decade ago, he was working in the experimental physics laboratory at the Catholic University of Milan. He was filtering out harmonics from certain Gregorian chants he had recorded when, suddenly...
Okay, this thing you just invented. Now, I don't want to break the bad news, but you invented a TV.
I had hoped it was going to turn out to be... Never mind. Just switch it off and let's grab some lunch.
But, Father, it is switched off.
But that isn't possible. What's that sound? My lord, this cannot be. Papa! Papa! Is that you?
He had heard the voice of his deceased father. Somehow, he had tuned to the frequency of the past. Further experimentation led him to the creation of the Chronovision device. This is not mumbo-jumbo. It is science. It is physics.
It is cobblers.
Father Ernetti demonstrated the Chronovision before Pope Pius XII.
Shh!
Your Holiness! Your Holiness! Your Holiness, could you please stop playing with the ball?
Okay, my son, come. Show me this miraculous invention of yours.
Yes, Holy One. I shall tune the machine into the time of our Lord.
The chronovision was tuned to the correct frequency, and the Pope viewed the crucifixion of Christ upon the screen. He was amazed, but soon he became horrified.
Well, crucifixion isn't a pretty sight.
Mm-hmm. Is he? Uh-huh. This machine is evil. Father Ernetti, you have created an abomination!
But Your Holiness, I do not understand. It showed you the truth of our Lord's crucifixion. I'll admit it was a little gruesome for tea time, but still...
Enough! It will be dismantled. It will be hidden away from the world forever! Now then, anyone fancy a quick kick about before prayers?
And jump! You see, Rizler, he understood the chronovision's potential and what would happen if it fell into the wrong hands. You see, we each have a unique resonance, and the chronovision can be tuned to anyone's personal frequency.
So?
So, think. If you can tune the frequency to the resonance of any individual on the planet, you can see that person's past. That person would have no secrets from the man who possesses the chronovision. Do you understand now?
Yes. If, say, some dictator got it, he could uncover everything about any person on Earth. Is that correct?
Correct, Rizler. The Pope understood this and the terrible implications. He ordered the chronovision dismantled, packed into boxes and placed under lock and key in the vaults of the Vatican, alongside the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, and the author's acknowledgements page from the Bible.
But if all this is true, and there is something about this that almost has me believing you, then the chronovision is safely stashed away and that's that.
It's not. It was stolen.
From the Vatican vaults?
More than a year ago. It would never have come to my attention. Indeed, the chronovision's existence would never have come to my attention had the Pope and I not been out on the Raz and he, having imbibed too freely, as is his habit, spilled the entire business to me.
Incredible. Ludicrous, but also incredible. But, and this is an important but, how is finding a lost dog going to help find the chronovision?
The map on the wall of my dining room. The map of Brighton. I saw you peering at it. Have you fathomed it yet?
No.
Think. What is it, Rizler? Describe it.
Well, it's a large-scale map of Brighton, and there were these figures drawn all over it. There was a bat, a cat, and a donkey or a horse, I think.
And the head of a dog in the Hangleton area of Brighton. It is my greatest discovery, young Rizler. The figures drawn upon that map are the carriageway constellations.
Right.
There are 12 figures, you see, and each represents a case or conundrum that we must solve in order to acquire the chronovision.
Right.
What you see on that map is... the Brighton Zodiac. Registered trademark pending.
I was just starting to get my mind around the chronovision and then you started with the Zodiacs. Can we get back to the chronovision?
Of course, the chronovision. I've been tracking it across the world, from the vaults of the Vatican across Europe to its present location right here in Brighton. But I shall have it. I shall have it before he can lay his evil hands on it.
Okay, now. Let's just take stock for a moment, shall we? We've had chronovisions, lost dogs, zodiacs, and now we've got a mystery man with evil hands. So who is this man?
My arch enemy. Holmes had his Moriarty. Helsing had his Dracula. Kennedy has his Nixon. And I have him. With the exception of Nixon, he is the most evil man who has ever lived, and if he gains control of the chronovision...
Doom and gloom and the end of mankind as we know it?
Exactly. His name is none other than Count Otto Black.
It was at this moment that our meal fortuitously came to the same end that most of our meals come to. Rune was plagued by the most terrible luck when it came to restaurants.
Ah, sir, you've elegantly gestured for more champagne, have you?
Please, my good man.
And has sir enjoyed the meal?
Absolutely, my good man. My thanks and eternal praise to the chef.
Sir is most kind. May I recommend rounding off your culinary experience with a generous slice of our famed Black Forest Gâteau, or perhaps some cheese and biscuits?
Both, my good man.
But of course, sir. I will bring them over immediately.
It was towards the end of this final course that the bad luck would inevitably occur.
Oh, sir, let me help you.
My lord, what is this?
It's a chicken bone, most likely a fine bone from the...
No. That, my good man, is not chicken. Observe its smoothness and thinness. I know what this is. I've studied this for years as a scientist. It is the bones of the Rattus norvegicus, more commonly known as a rat.
No, it cannot be.
My good man, I'm an expert in this field. This is unmistakably a rat bone.
Sir, please, no. There must be some way we can apologize to you for this freak accident. Your meal is, of course, complimentary, Please, accept this sum of money as a token gift, as a compensation for this unfortunate incident.
People have witnessed UFOs. They've even witnessed the Loch Ness Monster. But there has never been a confirmed sighting of Hugo Rune paying for a meal. Many hundreds, though, have seen him banned from eating establishments across the country.
We must depart this fine eatery, Rizla. Our first case awaits. The case of the lost dog, or more accurately, the case of the stolen dog. Waiter, call me a cab. And no bad puns, or it is the Ministry of Serendipity for you. Now, Risler, what do you know of Hangleton? The address at the top of this letter?
I've been there. I've been wandering about town, hoping something would stir my memory. Hangleton. Yeah, nice place, lots of 1930s-style houses.
Come, our transportation awaits. We are travelling to Hangleton.
Though the situation Rune created to avoid restaurant bills were ingenious, they were nothing compared to his avoidance of taxi bills.
You knocked him unconscious!
I was willing to accept his ridiculous nonsense about supporting Newcastle United no matter what, and the devil take the man who says otherwise, but I will not stand for any man being so misguided when it comes to cheese.
You don't think the smiting with your stick was just a bit unnecessary?
He protested the payment of the fare. Enough. I think this must be the house.
Mm-hmm. The one with the big sign saying dogs are us?
That very same sign brings to mind something that I should have mentioned to you earlier, to wit... the Chevalier effect.
After Chronovision, Lost Dogs and the Brighton Zodiac, I'm almost afraid to ask, what is the Chevalier effect?
An effect most pertinent. It will be many years before your stories are told. And when they are, some may take issue with the accuracy of them. They may argue that there was never an establishment called something or other us in the 1960s.
Then they will be wrong, because we're standing before it as we speak.
Precisely. Such contradictions are due to the Chevalier effect. The Chevalier effect is named after the popular entertainer Maurice Chevalier and the famous song that he sang.
Thank heaven for little girls. There seemed to be something not altogether wholesome about that song.
No, the song I'm referring to is I Remember It Well, from the motion picture Gigi, sung by Maurice Chevalier and Hermione Gingold.
Why isn't it called the Gingold effect?
Buffoon. Do you know the song?
Yes. I remember it well, well. That is, I remember the song well. I know it. It's two people remembering the night they met and they can't agree on the details. Let's see, it goes, we met at 7, no, we met at 8.
No, it goes, we met at 9, We met at 8.
You weren't on time. I wasn't too late.
No, I was on time. You were late.
Ah, yes, I remember it well.
No, you do not remember it well. Anyway, the Chevalier effect has to do with the decay of time. Once an event occurs, it becomes memory. Decay sets in and things run together. People recall the event differently. Some see it this way, others see it that way.
Some of them are right and some of them are wrong.
Wrong! They are all right!
No.
It is the decay of time that is to blame, not their faltering memories.
That sign definitely says dogs are us.
Then stick to your guns, young Rizzler. I have faith in you. And now I will explain to you precisely how the Chevalier effect works, so that in future you may set it down in your chronicles and explain all its seeming anomalies and anachronisms.
And so Rune explained the Chevalier effect in terms understandable to laymen. When he'd reached his conclusion, I became one of the converted, charged with passing this great wisdom on. So, you may rest assured that everything chronicled in these adventures did actually occur. All the seeming anomalies that will appear in my stories, such as alcopops, gay icons, designer sex toys, and certain dead rock stars, are not due to poor memory, nor spin doctoring, or even sexing things up. They are there due to the Chevalier effect.
There is one further thing I must warn you about. In this case, as in others, there is bound to be a spaniel involved.
What? We'll be speaking Spanish?
What are you talking about?
You said there would be a spaniel.
No, not Espanol, a spaniel.
What? The dog?
Yes, the dog, a spaniel. Do not fear, Rizzler.
Why would I fear a spaniel? They're big, soppy things, aren't they?
On that we are agreed. But I promise you there will be spaniel involvement, so remain vigilant and always be on your guard. Here, take this badge and pin it to your shirt.
Oh, there's a picture of a spaniel on it.
A word to the wise, wear the badge with pride. Keep both eyes and ears wide open.
Can we knock on the door now?
Of course not. We will not knock on the door. We will wait for our clients to come to us.
Naturally. Only normal people who didn't know their Brighton zodiac would knock on the door. I feel a bit of an idiot wearing this badge. By the way, what are those garden gnomes doing?
Copulating.
Oh, I see.
No, you don't. Duck your head, now!
Ow, I've been... Oh, my God!
Keep down and calm down.
Calm down, I'm shocked!
I promised you excitement.
But not an untimely death!
I trust you're not going to panic.
I'm retreating to a safe distance, possibly London. Farewell.
Oh, dear. Well, goodbye then, Rizzler. I did not foresee this. I fear this is where we part. This next gunshot will hit you in the...
What unspeakable fate awaits Rizzler? And what incredible revelation will Hugo Rune come out with next? And what about the Pope? Will he ever play for Italy? Tune your Chronovision to the future to find out. For those of you without a Chronovision, you can only find out by listening to the next far-fetched installment of Robert Rankin's The Brightonomicon. In the incredible encounter with Hugo Rune, David Warner was Hugo Rune, Rupert Degas was Rizzler and Pope Pius. Michael Fenton Stevens was the narrator, Tamsin Challenger was Janet Orion, Johnny Dawkes was Father Anetti, the waiter and the tailor, and Elliot Stein was the monk. The announcer was me, Graham Rogers. See you next time. The Brightonomicon was adapted by Elliot Stein and Neil Gardner from Robert Rankin's original bestseller, with production assistance from Cheryl Gardner. The music was composed and performed by Jeremy Carroll, and the theme was written by Hugh Edwards and Jeremy Carroll. The executive producers were David Warner, Rupert Degas, Robert Rankin, and Elliot Stein, and the programme was edited, produced, and directed by Neil Gardner. The Brightonomicon is a co-production of Ladbroke Radio and Hocus Bloke Productions for BBC Audiobooks.
This is not mumbo jumbo, it is science, it is physics.
It is cobblers.